The other thing I wanted to make note of today is that today is a commemoration, and it's a very special day, and actually it's really another part of the Reformation celebration, because on this date it was the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, in which the those who were a part of the reforming churches presented their beliefs in the form of the Augsburg Confession to King Charles V, and he received it. And this was in 1530. This was a significant event because it was able to, they were able to explain what they believed and why they believed the way they did. And today, that's a part of the basis of the confessions of the Lutheran Church and what we believe as Lutherans in addition to the Scriptures. So that is something that we remember today that happened in 1530. And the other one is one of the primary writers of that confession was Philip Melanchthon, a contemporary of Martin Luther, who we also recall today. So today is really as important as the 31st of October, and as this is something that marked a significant milestone in the Reformation. So a little bit of history there. Well, today's gospel reading is full of all kinds of fun things. Things that just really make us want to be disciples, right? We want to just get out there and go. But the reality is that this is a continuation of what you heard Pastor Marcy share last week as Jesus is preparing his disciples to go out and do ministry as he commissions them and sends them forth. And he's giving them basically the warning that came with that comes with everything else and saying that there are going to be times that you're going to find that people aren't going to accept you, that there's going to be ups and downs, and that there will be those who will challenge you, and all kinds of things are going to happen because you're not going to be politically correct. You're not going to be speaking about things that maybe everybody else considers the norm, because the gospel oftentimes is like the salmon swimming upstream. We go against the force. And that happens. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that I've called you to follow, I expect you to follow, and I don't expect you to give 10% or 20%. I expect you that you will do this mission 100%. So in reality, if your heart is not in it, maybe you should just go home. And so that's something that runs true for us today, especially as we are challenged in this world every day to all kinds of things that are going on. You know, when we expect things to be done, let's say you want to contract somebody to do something at the house, maybe renovate your bathroom, maybe paint. I think there was a commercial for one of those programs like Angie's List or whatever that shows somebody that says, okay, it's all done. It was a house that was half painted. You know, you're not gonna get somebody that's only going to paint half your house, right? You expect them to do the whole house. You expect it to be done neatly, that there's not going to be paint splashes all over the place, that, you know, things are taken care of around the areas that are being painted, and that the colors aren't just slapped together. You expect... You know, almost you expect perfection. You expect that of yourself when you do things, when you're asked to do it. When you're at work, you take pride in what you do, and so you give 100% as much as you can. And of course, there are days that we don't feel well. There are days that sometimes we're just not up to snuff. So it isn't always 100% because we're not perfect. We have our struggles. We get distracted. And just as in discipleship, we get distracted as well. And oftentimes, we allow for others to influence the way in which we think. And that, therefore, sometimes we kind of reduce that understanding of how much we are to be a disciple. Well, surely Jesus doesn't expect us to do this. And I would say, surely Jesus does. And that's part of the difficulty about being disciples. That's why we gather together every week, so that we can be encouraged and that we are reminded of the forgiveness and the grace in which God gives to us. We are reminded by the strength in which God gives to us through the Holy Spirit that we are not to be afraid and that we are not to worry. You know, all too often, we spend more times worrying about everything around us when at that moment there's nothing we can do about it other than perhaps maybe pray or be proactive and try to make sure things are able to happen in the way that God would have us do them. But there are just some things that are out of our control. Judy is a worrier. And I often will say, you know, it's not going to do one bit of good. And most times she worries for naught because everything ends up turning out okay. Every once in a while it doesn't. But that's, I mean, I know because there are times that I worry too. And I find that for the most part, everything works itself out. But when you have experiences and things that after a while inform you as to who you are, and sometimes those things don't work out, it kind of keeps playing on your mind over and over again. And God, just like Jesus saying to Peter, as Peter gets out of the boat, and when he's looking at Jesus, he's fine. But the moment that he pays attention to the waves that are beneath him and the storm that is around him, he begins to sink. And that's what happens with us. We begin to find ourselves floundering and not seeing the strength in which God is giving to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I once had a group of probably junior high age boys that came to my house in Warren. Now, my house was full of oak and maple trees. So in the fall, it was just leaf city. I mean, several inches of leaves, and I hated raking. And the whole yard is covered. It was about an acre of yard, and these three or four young boys come up to my front door and says, "We'll rake your yard for you." I said, "Okay, well, what do you want?" And they each said, "Well, could you give us $20 each?" It's like, well, that's $80, but okay, it's worth getting the leaves done. So I sent them on their way. I showed them, you know, where the property was and how they needed to do things. And about an hour later, they came to the door and they said, "Well, we're done." And I looked out and they got one quarter of the yard done. I said, "But you're not done." I said, "Look at the rest of the yard." They said, "Well, we have to go home. It's time for our dinner." So they wanted to be paid. So I said, "Okay." So I gave them each their $20 and I said, "But you need to come back and finish the yard." Well, of course, they never came back and finished the yard. But that's just the way it is. But you would expect, you know, somebody who would be a professional landscaper or whatever, that, you know, when you pay them for those things, that it would be done correctly, correct? You expect that of people. When Jesus asked his disciples to share of themselves, he's saying, don't do it in a half-hearted way, but he's saying to do it with the whole heart. You yourselves have received the love of God. God has given you that grace, and it isn't by the actions that you do. It isn't graded on those kinds of things. It's just that God loves you. God gives you what he wants to give you. And so, therefore, it's not a half thing. It's not a partial thing. It's not this thing that's got a condition to it that says to you, "Well, I'll love you as long as you do these things." But even when we fail to do them, God scoops us up in his arms and he holds us. Now, as the saying goes, just because you park your bicycle in a garage doesn't make it a car. And just because we come to church doesn't make it that we are a Christian. What makes us a Christian is the fact that God has chosen us to be his children. By the act of baptism, by that act of water that was poured upon your head and the word that accompanied it that says, "You are my child. And with this baptism, I forgive you of your sins. I make you a member of the family. And not only that, I give you this great and wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that will speak for you, that will help you to overcome your fear when you are confronted by things that catch you by surprise or things that you know are coming and that you need to be prepared and that you hold firm and that you do not shake loose of what it is that Jesus has taught us." Now, one of the things that confront us today in society actually has to do with something that impacts all of us, and that is, you know, you might say, "Well, Pastor Dave, don't get political on us now." But the problem is that when Jesus asks us to do things, we are demanded that we take care of each other. And I don't care what certain evangelical pastors or preachers want to tell you, that you can kind of work yourself out in these things, because everything that I read that Jesus tells us is that we are to be compassionate, that when there is somebody who is seeking water, that we give them a cup of cold water. When there's somebody that is imprisoned, we go and we visit. When there's somebody that's naked, we go and we clothe them. When somebody asks of our coat, we give them two. These are all things in which Jesus instructs us, and I believe in my very bones that this is exactly how we are to be with one another. So when the issue of immigration comes up and we begin to point fingers at those who come into this country illegally and we begin to say, oh, you know, this is the cause of all our problems and these things are going, you know, this is something that is standard through history down through the ages. There are those in power that will point to a group of individuals and say, here, they're the cause of all your aches and pains. And instead of embracing and helping, particularly when we're talking about young children who are coming up through Central America and facing gangs and terrorism and warfare, where is this country that said, give me your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses? Oh, well, we only do that for certain ones that are like us. But you remember that we ourselves at one point in time were recipients of the same care because there was an understanding of what it was to be God's children. And there was a time when the Irish weren't welcome. There was a time when the Roman Catholics weren't welcome. There's a time now that the Muslims aren't welcomed. There's a time when the Chinese weren't welcomed. You know, we are all part of that. And when Jesus tells us that we are to go out and that we are to do these things, I don't believe he meant that, oh, well, there are exceptions. I think of those who, at a retreat center in Carefree, New Mexico, who go out in certain spots of the desert where there's absolutely nothing, and they leave these survival kits, I guess you would say, gallons of water, because there are those who will risk life and limb just to find freedom. And they will go through the desert, never mind the fact that they could, you know, die of thirst or die of starvation. It's up to you and I to welcome all. And whether you like it or not, that's what Jesus tells us. And that's where we get to that portion of the gospel, which it says, you know, son will be against father, mother against daughter, and so forth. It gives us all those comparisons. It's not that Jesus is saying that we're going to be bringing a sword towards each other, but the problem is that the gospel in which he proclaims, the gift of love that he gives to us, is so powerful that it runs contrary to what maybe the mainstream is thinking. And it just seems like as we get further and further into a dark hole with the way in which perhaps certain individuals begin to think, it's like this is not the world in which God has given us not to take care of, not to share with others, but it's precisely those things in which we have been called to do. So we are challenged today. And some of you may not like what I say, and that's okay, because I don't expect everybody to agree with me. I'm not trying to be political. It's just that this is what Jesus tells us to do. You've asked me to serve as your shepherd, so here I am. And you can choose to follow the way in which I believe Jesus is leading us, or you could say, you know, forget him, and you can go somewhere else, or you could just do whatever it is that you want to do and still be a part. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to share the message. Anthony DeMello, in a book called Taking Flight, it was written in 1990, talks about a woman whose time has come, and she comes to the gates, and they check her life out. And they find that she's only done one kind act where she gave a carrot to a beggar. But because of that one kind act, because it speaks so loudly, they said, yes, welcome. We're going to have you come with us. And they brought the carrot out. And the moment that she grabbed onto that carrot, it began to lift her up towards heaven. And little did she know, as she was being lifted up, that there was a beggar that grabbed the hem of her dress and also was lifted up with her. And then somebody grabbed onto the beggar's shoe and held onto that. And soon there was a whole line of people that were behind. And she never took notice. She didn't even feel the weight because her eyes were focused towards where she was going. And as she gets closer and closer, she takes one more look back at the earth, and that's when she notices that all these people are hanging on to her. And she says, "No, no, get away from me. This is mine. It belongs to me. This is all about me." And the moment she said that, she lost her grasp of the carrot. And she fell back to earth with the whole train of others behind her. You see, it's not about me. It's not about the lady with the carrot. It's about how God and his graciousness has acted through us. And I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm glad that I'm able to be part of this family. And I'm glad that we are able to celebrate this love that God has given us this day, who says to all of us who are weary, who are tired, who struggle each and every day to make ends meet, who have struggles as to what do we do with these situations that are raised before us, because we simply can't ignore them. And Jesus says, come on, come here, find forgiveness. Find the strength around my table. And be sent, just as I sent my disciples, where even the demons did not prevail against them. You and I, too, have that power of giving life to all people through the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen.